Next, we have The Left and the Law with Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker.
Mike, welcome to KBOO from Los Angeles.
It's good to be here, as always.
Yeah, well, you'll be reporting a little later on the Lawyers Guild protest on Friday and a rally for immigrant rights in downtown L.A. on Saturday. And I must say, in beginning our discussion of Trump and the fate of the Muslim ban, that as an activist and attorney, you must be very proud of your colleague these days. It's kind of the year of the lawyers, the season of the law. And it reminds me of an old attorney joke that I must begin with. What's the difference between a good lawyer and a bad lawyer? A bad lawyer can let a case drag out for several years. A good lawyer can make it last even longer. Well, Mike, how long is this apt to last?
Well, we want to stretch things out right now because Trump wants to.
Yes, and that's another twist on that old joke, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, people say, they recall Shakespeare saying, the first thing we do is, let's kill all the lawyers. But they forget that the guy who said that was Dick the Butcher, an ally of a guy named Jack Cade, who wanted to become king of England. And they knew if he were to become king, the first thing they would have to do would be to clear out all the lawyers. And right now, lawyers are the only obstacle to Trump essentially assuming sole power on every front, because Congress is totally craven and supine, is doing absolutely nothing. His travel ban, for example, or Muslim ban, would essentially have declared lawful permanent residents as no longer citizens. It would have given to himself the power to just completely de-citizenize a whole class of people who legally are in every way citizens of the U.S. So it was a striking decision and a really wonderful moment because, of course, it gave Trump a loss, and he thrives on wins of any sort, hates to lose. But most importantly, the Ninth Circuit rejected the government's justification for this ban. The government said, essentially, this order of ours is unreviewable because you don't know anything about national security. You have no right to even consider this. And the court rejected that decisively and even went so far as to say that courts have jurisdiction even in times of war. If you're going to eliminate constitutional rights, you have to have at least a rational reason. And they had not one single person from any of those seven countries who had ever committed a terrorist act in the United States. People who had are from other countries like Saudi Arabia, with whom Trump is doing business.
Well, you know, Michel Foucault is famous for describing the law and social sciences as an elaborate system of rationalization rather than killing people brutally as kings under earlier regimes did. Modernity is known for its process, and that becomes kind of a marker of Western notions of civilization. And, of course, that makes the ruthlessness of the law more obscure and less apt to invite this incensed protest. And what about this prospect of Trump, who is so imperious and reckless and arrogant, kind of steadying himself with some people around him who are more clever and educated in such matters and coming up with a better process of achieving the same thing?
Well, I'm sure he will. They will do another, quote, travel ban, and they'll get rid of the part where they deny reentry into this country to lawful permanent residents. There's a part where they completely violate statutory procedures for political asylum cases. But the court only banned sections 3 and 5 of his order, and he can redo it with those extremely outrageous sections out of the way, and it will be a little more vulnerable. Then it will be closer, because the next ground of attack would be that it's a religious ban. And he's denying that by phrasing it as 7 particular nation states.
How can he argue that when there's, even in the summary arguments and judgment, I sat in on the rulings in Seattle with Judge Robart, and he said there is evidence of zero threats from any of these countries. So how would he arrive in a more legally compelling way to the same conclusion, given that these countries pose no security threat or history of security threat to the U.S.?
Well, we'll find out. because he's going to reinstitute it probably tomorrow, maybe the next day. And it will again be vulnerable because on due process grounds, like he's making decisions that are arbitrary, have no rational support, and secondly, on religious grounds. It's okay to put into evidence his campaign speeches and promises whenever you're infringing on religious liberty. And he has used the phrase Muslim ban so many times that it's going to be pretty easy to show that that's the real intent of this ban, is a religious ban. And it will be fiercely fought. You know, I think lawyers, there are times when they're just essentially agents of stasis and repression, but there are times when they're the only people who can effectively get in the way of a tyrant. And this is one of those moments. And I'm sure that there are people all over the country. The people, by the way, who have been bickering for years, as small-time do-gooding nonprofit groups are prone to do, but who are now just acting as one without stopping to sort things out of money and time and credit, but they're just really effectively acting. It's a
nothing like a common enemy.
I know. I was struck in Los Angeles on Friday. It was a lawyers' rally at the federal building in Los Angeles, and there was the Lawyers Guild, the ACLU, Immigrant Rights Projects. There were 20 different groups had attorneys being present, wearing suits and briefcases, demonstrating against, well, police brutality, defunding of Planned Parenthood, but primarily on behalf of immigrants and asylum cases. There are asylum cases at the border where it's chaos now. But there are cases, people are going over to Tijuana and coming forth with people with very credible asylum claims, trying to get through.
Can you speak a little to that issue, then perhaps how that was expressed in the protests on Saturday? These different categories or groups of vulnerable people affected by Trump politics, because it was quite a wide immigrant rights rally on Saturday.
There were tens of thousands of people. It's a complicated business, immigration law, but it is primarily under the executive branch of government. That's why it's the flashpoint. In criminal law and order, all that stuff will take time because it's primarily a state and local matter. But the issues about immigration include issues about asylum. There are people from Honduras whose towns have become uninhabitable or run by gangs since the coup in Honduras, sponsored by the Obama administration. The whole country has degenerated. It's now the most murderous part of the world. And there are all kinds of people with very solid asylum claims at the border. There's serious efforts being made by lawyers in this country and lawyers in Mexico to coordinate challenges to the law limiting asylum applications. There's a whole series of laws about regular immigrants, efforts to make people who were formerly eligible for green cards to no longer be eligible, and people who have green cards to be severely limited in their movement. This is a broad-based effort, and I'm amazed and pleased to say that there's all kinds of resistance at every level, resistance in immigration law hearings, resistance in court, and resistance everywhere it's possible to fight back.
Well, Mike, viva progressive lawyers. Now more than ever, we need them. You've been redeemed. So we'll continue.
Moment.
Yeah, travel safe, and we'll be back on the air with more of these reports in the coming weeks. Thanks so much. This is Jan Hawken talking with Mike Snedeker in L.A.